When you're with Amex Business Platinum, you have the card that helps you do more of what you love. Like a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. And with 5x membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, going the extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at AmericanExpress.com/AmexBusiness.
A big thing is people that want to plan for their kids.
Yeah.
Whether it's college savings,
yep.
Whether it's when they want to, they put life insurance on their kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a variety of different ways that people can save money for their kids, right?
Yep.
So if somebody's coming to your office and they just got married and they have a baby on the way, right? Talk through the process that you would educate them as far as the different ways that they can actually set their children up.
100%. I mean, like you said, there's a lot of ways. Because they'll be just a newborn baby, right? We probably wouldn't start entertaining the conversation of putting them on payroll, right?
Yeah, I'll let you talk about newborn, then I'll come on the back end and talk about that part.
That might be an audit red flag.
Yeah.
But I think one of the ways is you can always obviously set up a custodial accounts in the beginning. What that means is, right, is kind of joint ownership. You can control it until the kid reaches a certain age. And so deciding what you want to do for the kid. So do you want the kid to go to college, right? Do you want to say, want them to be able to buy their first property at a certain age? I like to start with the end in mind with the target. And then from there, we can figure out the best investment vehicles or the best options. So one of the things would definitely be opening up a custodial brokerage account. Another thing would be also getting a life insurance policy on them as well, because insurance is based off age and health. And when you do design it the right way, there are ways where you can have something called high early cash value, or you can have 10 pays or 20 pays. And while your commission as an agent, if you get compensated that way, goes down, that is the best thing for the client, right? So those are two fundamental things that I would do, because I mean, at that age, right, being able to get a policy and getting a custodial account, and people don't realize the number one thing in investing that you have in your, have to your advantage is time, right? So being able to get that started, you know, literally from day one, is a super advantage for sure.
What about 529?
I'm not against 529s. I mean, there's some tax benefits from it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They just became sexy again.
Yeah, they did.
Because you can convert them to a Roth IRA now.
Yeah, so I'm not against. I think 529s are great vehicles. I just like to optimize for flexibility.
Yeah.
I think that we just live in a very different environment. I think when I was in school, when I was in college, you know, you would hear things like, oh, that's not a profession, that's not a career. And people might not be going to college in the same way that they are now with the advent of certain technology. But I'm not against them. I think they could be
Because
I want to just custodial before you jump.
Yeah.
UGMA. Preferential, or because like you said, you're thinking of the end in mind.
Yeah.
And there's different levels of control you can have, right? At 18.
Yeah.
Control's over.
Yeah.
So what's your
stance? I think if you're passing down the methodology, right? That's a big, we didn't talk a lot about it, right? But like a big part of all of this is as you're setting this stuff up, like you don't want to just do what you didn't have for your kids. You want to educate them so they have the methodology and the mindset on why you did it, right? And so for me, I think even though you're giving up control at 18, if you did what you were supposed to do in terms of like advising them at every step, especially once you're able to put them on payroll, hey, this is why we're doing it. This is what we're going to use the money for. I could have just given you the money, but the reason why we're putting you on payroll, which I'll let you expound upon, the reason why we're putting you on payroll is because this is what it means for our business. And this is tax-free income to you. And now we can invest it into the Roth IRA, not to steal your thunder.
But leave something on the bone for me, bro.
So I think it's about the education, right? I mean, control is control. It's great. But at the end of the day, like I was talking to this lady on the plane who has adult children, and she was just like, your kids are going to be your kid. You can only do
so much,
right? And in my opinion, you know, within the first 18 years of life, if you did what you're supposed to do, they're going to take what they're supposed to take, and they're going to do what they want to do. So I'm personally, I don't need control, at least me personally, beyond the age of 18.
Yeah. And one of my favorite strategies that I don't think enough people utilize is hiring their kids into their business. What most people do is they make money, they pay taxes on that money, and then they pay their kids, which is okay. It's a good start, but I think it's a better way to do it. You make money first, then you hire your kids into your business. And when you do this, you're able to pay each of your kids, I'm sure y'all heard this before, up to $14,600 each per child. And your business receives the $14,000 tax deduction as if you pay anybody else. And your kids can receive this $14,600 tax-free because the standard deduction wipes out their income. They don't have to file a tax return. You don't have to send them a 1099. You don't have to send them a W-2. None of that. They get that $14,000 tax-free. And then if I were you, I would take 7,000 of that 14,000 and put it into a Roth IRA for them because they probably don't need all the money right now. And if you do this from when your kids are age, I recommend you can start hiring your kids in your business after age 7, because that's when they can actually do work, you know, answer the phones, clean up the office, stuff like that. If you do this from when your kids are age 7 to when your kids are age 17, that's the cutoff for hiring your kids into your business. They will have about $130,000, $140,000 of tax-free money in their Roth IRA. Not to mention, they've been learning from you as a boss for the last 10 years. So not only are you teaching them, are you paying them for their work, but you're teaching them entrepreneur skills at the same time. So I think this is a great way to save money or taxes in your business, pass down tax-free wealth to your kids, and help them get a head start on entrepreneurship at the same time. And I think that more people should take advantage of, you know, hiring their kids in their business and giving them the ropes.
Super valuable. At 17, they're probably going to make the biggest financial decision other than buying a house, which is, am I going to school?
Yeah, and now you got your own money to make that decision.
True.
Yeah. Now, because like, you can go to school on my dime for $100,000, but no, you got $120,000. You can use that for college, or what I plan to do for my kids, I would say, like, this is the seed capital you need for your business. We don't need to go find outside funding or find investors. You have $100,000 to put towards that business idea. I'll be the CFO of the company. I'll help you deploy the money into your business. But I want my kids to have options on what they want to do instead of having to take the traditional route.
Well, so what's the conversion that you can 529 to a Roth?
Oh, yeah. So with the 529 plan, the problem that I used to have with it is that money needs to be used for college, or you have to pay taxes on the earnings from that money. And let's face it, you know, 18 years from now, like, college might be less of a thing than it already is today. Mm-hmm. And so if they don't want to go to college, then you have to now pay taxes on that money. But the rule is, today you can convert, I believe it's up to $36,000 of 529 money into a Roth IRA and not have to pay any taxes on there. So like, if your kids are 18, say, hey, I don't want to go to college, you can convert that money to a Roth IRA and it can continue to grow tax-free, which is a huge flexibility option for kids now. So now 529 plan is like, hey, if you don't want to go to college, I can either change the name to another child, or I can convert it to a Roth IRA and they can continue growing tax-free forever. Which is pretty big.
Yeah, and so this is, I mean, amazing information. One of the things that people always ask us about is asset allocation. Mm-hmm. Right? And so in order to do these things, to have these strategies, they have to know how to spend, how to save, where they put. So what is the recommended percentages, I guess case to case, but just an overarching theme of what asset allocation would look like.
Yeah, even cash flow, personal finance, everything. Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, to your point, depending upon how much money you make, I don't think you need to be paying yourself 50% of that for general expenses. Yeah. But the average person, I would say, let's keep your necessities, right? Your housing, your cars, all that stuff, bills, utilities. But ideally around 50, but no more than 60%, right? Like between that 50 to 60% range is pretty decent. Then 15 to 20% of your money for like your wants, right? Being able to travel, dining out, entertainment, like those things that could be very variable, right? And then another 15 to 20% for allocated for investing. Now, as your income increases, right, we want those percentages to flip, right? So for example, like, you know, they say the average retirement age is 65, but when you really do the math, the reason why the average retirement age is 65 is because the average person makes $50,000 in the United States, right? Meaning they did everything right. They can maybe allocate 10% towards investing and saving, which means that's going to take them 30 plus years to accumulate $1 million nest egg. But if you make $100,000, you've doubled your income. And if you just doubled your savings rate from 10% to 20%, now you can put away 4 times more money, right? So I think one of the keys is, as your income increases, strategically increasing your savings rate. Because here's the thing, even if your lifestyle does increase as you make more money, as long as you've increased your savings rate, you're always guaranteeing and baking in the fact that I'm now going to increase my investing as well. But to start out, I think those are great percentages. But as your income increases, I think, you know, anything above 6 figures, I would try to get that. I would try to get those necessities down to like closer to 50%, maybe even less, and then continue to increase the saving and investing allocation so that you can just get to your target faster. Because retirement has nothing to do with age; it has everything to do with assets. It's a number. You don't have to be 65, right? It's like, oh, I got a target. Now this is the number. How can I get there as fast as possible? You get there as fast as possible by being a good steward over your finances.
Yeah. How do we get tricked into thinking that 65 is like now I want to do whatever I want to do in life. Like, you know, like my knees barely work. Like so we always tell our clients, like, retirement is not an age. It is a number. The faster we get you there, the faster you can, like, do whatever you want. So it's about more, you know, financial freedom than it is about retirement, because it's just like, how, when, at what point do I have enough money when my investments can pay me out to live my lifestyle? And at that number, if you want to stop working, stop working. But I just think that we as a people, as a culture, need to get away from that. 65 and now I can live my life. Life is meant to, you're meant to do more than that.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.